Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Wednesday, February 21st, 2018. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy hump day, Melody.
Happy, happy, happy. We have Wendy Wilson here, and everyone is happy when she's here because she gives us so much information today. She really does about her health, trying to keep each and every one of you healthy. And I do so appreciate Wendy. And she'll be joining us right after the market report. And the market report, fascinating. The Dow was triple digits high today. And about the last, 15 minutes of trade, it had a big reversal. First, it was only down like 40 points. Now it's down about 167 points. So we'll talk about that. We'll go to gold first, see where gold is trading at. And gold was higher morning. We had 1336 for a high, but they did the reversal on it today. We're still down about $5 at 1324. $1,324 down five. Silver's up 6 cents today at $1,658. Platinum was down 10 at $993. Palladium was also down 13 at $1,020. The USDX today is still stronger, 0.35 at 90.05. That popped up here in just in the last couple of minutes. Crude oil was down 67 cents at 61.12. And let's see what the paper markets are doing as we speak. It's a couple of minutes after. We're still down 167 points, 24,796. You have the NASDAQ down 16 at 7,218. The S&P was down 14 at 2,701. I guess the markets didn't like what the last Federal Reserve minutes had said. They were released today. And, of course, that was the last meeting of Janet Yellen in her term. So markets didn't like it. So we'll see what she had to say to put the pressure on the markets. And we had the 10-year yield. That popped 2.94%. Up 0.05, and foreign Asian markets were a little quiet over the evening trading sessions, and so a lot to talk about today. But first, for the first segment of the program, we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Dave.
Hello, Wendy.
I thought we'd talk about some secrets in medicine. I know, did any of you know anybody, or did you yourself work at a hospital, you know, maybe in high school in the summertime or anything like that?
I did.
You did? What did you do at the hospital, Dave?
I mopped floors.
Oh, right.
Okay. Mopped and waxed floors with my with my buddy Glenn Childers.
Yeah, I knew some people growing up, you know, they were, you know, orderlies or whatever during the
candy
summer break.
Candy stripers.
Yeah. Well, I've worked at a hospital. Actually, I worked in intensive care for a number of years, and then I worked for anesthesia. So I know my way around a hospital pretty well. So I thought we'd talk about some secrets in medicine that people may not know about.
Okay.
That's right. Well, you know, if you ask somebody, you know, what do you think medicine's best kept secret? They're going to get all kinds of answers. One person I spoke to thought it was, you know, dermatologist had some sort of secrets because, you know, all those allergy shots and everybody's allergic to something was their response. But, you know, one of the things that scientific medicine really projects is they tend to, you know, project an image. They know a lot about health, and if they can't help you, nobody can, kind of. And if you've worked with a doctor or two, you know that they can be kind of arrogant and know-it-alls. Anyway, I worked for a few that had big tempers. But anyway, we're going to talk about a hospital image for a minute because that's real important in a community. But, you know, nobody suspects or doesn't want to think about a hospital that, you know, kind of smells of antiseptic would actually harbor a lot of contagious and deadly diseases, even on door handles, clipboards, and tongue suppressors. So no one is suspecting a hospital with a lot of sophisticated equipment would actually give you a misdiagnosis. And no one suspects that doctors and nurses make a lot of medical mistakes and then cover them up intentionally. We're going to get to some revelations here in a minute. No one wants to think that malpractice insurance and hospital liability insurance is high because it offers a real risk to loss of life. And no one wants to think of hospital authorities are run by accountants, only worried about profits and bottom line and cost-saving goals, and they are. You'd think a hospital is run by a chief of staff physician, but they're not. They're run by CPAs. Did you know that?
Well, I've had a little experience as a consumer with two hospitals in my life, and unfortunately, I found that out late and the hard way.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of the things I want you to remember. I mean, now, not all hospitals are bad. Not all doctors and nurses are bad. But I'm just going to highlight some things you might want to tuck away. Hospital staff may not have washed their hands. Okay? Right. Physicians and nurses touch patients, and they touch, bedding and side rails and a lot of equipment that can be highly contaminated. There was a study done by the Infectious Control and Hospital Epidemiology Group. They reported 60% of the time hospital staff don't follow the protocols and wash their hands. They said physicians by far were the worst. They didn't want to wash their hands compared to the nursing staff. They said one doctor can infect 20 patients in one day. So remember that. Also, those white coats doctors and a lot of technicians and people wear, you know what? Those things don't get washed very often. Maybe once a month. Well, they shove them in the locker when they finish their shift and the badge still attached to it, you know, the ID badge, and they go home. Also, hospital cleaning staff, they don't always, sorry, Dave, not talking about you, but they don't always are efficient at disinfecting rooms, baths, and equipment. And this is where you get a lot of transfer diseases, especially when respiratory devices are used. Hospital policy, kind of not written in stone, as you would think. When protocols get ignored, someone's injured, unaccountability is kind of normal. Hospitals also lie to patients, and we're going to have a doctor admit that in a minute. Hospital records, do you think they're secure? Anybody want to weigh in?
Of course not. Are they?
No, they're pretty much.
I didn't think so.
They're an open book, and they often disappear. You can ask me when I had a hunt for charts. There is really no patient privacy. It's a policy, but it's really not enforced. Often hospitals will give patients, you know, that are admitted what is called a hospital disclosure consent form, supposedly, you know, listing the ways their health information is going to be shared, also known as when it escapes from the hospital jurisdiction. But most hospitals don't have a policy to notify patients if the records are breached and their information is stolen. So they keep that in mind. Also, hospital charts are often unsupervised, and there's a lot of sensitive health information inside them, and they can get in the wrong hands. They're left at nurses' stations. They're left in the room. They're left with technicians, and they walk away from the chart. So they're not supervised. They're not babysat all the time. And so that information can get into the hands of the private investigators, employers, identity thieves, and even a former spouse looking for information on you. So identity thieves also could be actually the hospital employees. So it's recommended patients need to put a 90-day fraud alert on their accounts when they get admitted. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah, it is. Wow.
Well, also information that hospitals glean from their patients does filter down to not only health insurance companies, but also life insurance companies, pharmacists at the drugstore and their employees, also third-party billing, and also third-party electronic health record providers. So there's really nothing secure. It all gets exposed to all these different outsourced entities. Also, physicians and nurses make some big mistakes, and often they'll give the wrong dose or the wrong drug. So medication errors do kill people. And by the way, computers have delete buttons. So, yeah.
Oops.
Yeah.
I have a question. I don't know if this is related to what you're talking about, but 15, 20 years ago, a lady I was working with, she had MRSA.
Mm-hmm.
So I freaked out and I went to my doctor to see, you know, if I had contacted it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, no. And he made a statement. He says, well, you know, and this was a, you know, a doctor hospital type setting. He mm-hmm. says, well, most of us, he says, most doctors and nurses carry MRSA.
Mm, yeah, they can.
They're carriers. Yeah. He says it's just that their antibodies keep it from becoming active. And yeah. I'm thinking, well, how does that? And I thought, well, if you're in a hospital mm-hmm. and you're a carrier, how do you know when you're active or not?
Well, yeah. Well, mm-hmm. Well, basically, the hospital is an incubator for a lot of viruses. Yeah. I mean, and the least you can expect is to get a wart. Okay.
But you hear about MRSA and the danger yeah. in the hospitals, and yeah. you know, and how it kills people.
Well, MRSA is not a big deal. I mean, they already know it kills MRSA. Some hospitals have implemented using some of these things on surfaces. A garlic, for instance, kills MRSA in the petri dish under microscope in seconds. Also, a combination of copper and a silver solution kills them on surfaces as well. So they know what kills MRSA, but they make more money with patients that get overwhelmed with MRSA and having to do skin grafts and surgeries and things like that. So just keep in mind, a hospital is a business. It's a business entity.
Yeah. But Wendy, whether you know it or not, you just gave listeners another reason to be investing in precious metals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have it on hand.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, people call me a lot and say, what would you do with, you know, a lot of these skin viruses and MRSAs? One of them, I would just use some garlic juice on it. It'll be gone in a skinny minute. I mean, it's not really a big deal. Don't be scared, Melanie.
I'm not. I'm not.
Just get prepared. I mean,
this was 15, 20 years ago, and MRSA mm-hmm. at that point in time.
Yeah, it was scary. Well, you know, just because a hospital, let's say, has incident reports and risk management departments, really that's window dressing. And often it just looks good to the customer. Okay. They are going to protect their own. You think there's going to be a big investigation into, you know, malpractice? No. Not all anesthesiologists in surgery are medical doctors running your gases. In most cases, CRNAs are doing it. And these are nurses that are running your anesthetic gases. There could be, let's say, you know, 8 or more surgery wings going at one time, and there's one anesthesiologist on the floor for emergency only. But patients get charged as if a medical doctor was sitting right above their head running those gases. So if you do have to have surgery for something, you can insist on having a medical doctor because mm-hmm. you're going to be paying for one anyway.
Yep.
Also, hospital staff often ignore a lot of equipment alarms, you know, patient buzzers and so on. And being worked in intensive care, your brain starts to ignore a lot of stuff. And some hospitals are now outsourcing the monitoring, and the life expectancy of the patients jumped 49%. Also, does your hospital have a rapid response team? And if they do, it needs to be a physician, a nurse, a respiratory therapist, and a pharmacist, and they should all come together and show up at the patient's bedside when they're called. That's what a real rapid response team consists of. And did you know that each patient shares their nurse with a minimum of 12 other patients? So nurses actually carry the labor part of patient care, and not all nurses are RNs or registered nurses. Some of these nurses are just nurses assistants, and they often are people that graduated from the sanitation staff. They're supposed to pass a nurse's assistant test. It's really not difficult to take, but some of these people, I want to tell you, they needed three attempts to pass the thing. So that's who you have looking after you. And when there is a budget cut, the nursing staff takes a hit. RNs may have more than 12 patients to look after, or they may be the first to go because they're paid more than their nurse's assistants. And so hospital policy kind of goes out the window when it comes to budget cuts. Mm. Also, there was a study by Medical Care, and what they reported is you are 14% less likely to die when you're treated at a magnet hospital. Does anybody know what a magnet hospital is?
I have no idea.
Well, the term magnet hospital was actually, it's supposed to be a better facility compared to other hospitals, and people really don't know what makes it better. It's the term that nurses have given hospitals. They rank them according to the quality of care. So since the bulk of the patient care lands on the shoulders of nurses, the American Nurses Accrediting Center, along with the American Nurses Association, actually rank hospitals according to their criteria, measuring the strength and quality of nursing care. So that's what a magnet hospital means. You'll get better nursing care.
Hmm.
Okay. You had a question.
Where do you find that out? Do you just...
Yeah, I mean, you can call the nurses, American Nurses Association. They'll have a list of them nationwide.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, if you walk into a hospital lobby and they don't have a giant banner proclaiming that they're a magnet hospital, they're mm-hmm. probably not.
Right. That's like a badge of honor. You got to wear that.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the hospital food for a minute.
Must we?
Oh, well, anything but healthy, right? Especially if someone has diabetes, heart disease, or cancer, because really hospital food has kind of been what you'd expect to be served at a sporting event, you know, hot dogs and burgers and chicken wings. But according to the Physician Committee for Responsible Medicine, they say there's 443 hospitals now specializing in healthier food, you know, no antibiotics, no hormone stuff. So they're coming along, according to the report. But I want to tell you, working in intensive care, we had the heart surgery floor on our wing, and you'd see these heart surgeons and nurses go down. They'd have fried chicken and French fries, uh-huh. and then after they finished lunch, they'd light a cigarette. ER times have grown by 25%. The wait times have grown since 2008, and it's been associated with more deaths and admissions. Also, hospitals will reduce their number of staff members on the weekends, so there's not less sick people on the weekends, but there's less hospital staff to take care of you. That affects 55 million people and increases the mortality rate.
Hmm.
So,
wow.
Yep.
Well, that's a lot of great information for folks who have to use the hospital and so forth, and we're certainly all getting older. But what also is getting older is the amount of time we have for this segment. We only have a few seconds left. We have 15 today. So
okay.
Please give the listeners your contact info.
Sure, but Dr. John Markey, surgeon at Johns Hopkins, says hospitals hide serious mistakes from patients 98% of the time.
Wow.
You could give Apothecary Herbs a call at 866-229-3663 because there's another type of insurance, and it's called being proactive. 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Thank you, Wendy.
Bye, Wendy.
Listeners, we'll be right back right after these few short commercials.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. truthandradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I am here with my co-host Dave Allen, and you're listening to, as I said, I'm going to remind you twice, Financial Survival. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. We have a spring day here on the eastern shore of Maryland, and I guess that's why I have a little bit of, I'll blame it on a little bit of spring fever, not being up at 3:30 this morning. But so 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I want you, you have 20 minutes. You have this whole segment to get out your pencils and paper, because after the next break, I'm going to give you a special. It's a tremendous special, and so I'm going to make sure you have plenty of time so that you can write it down. You know, Dave, going into, before Wendy joined us, we talked about the Dow Jones closed 167 points. It was actually up at 303 points earlier in the day, a huge swing, and of course, that was after the 10-year yield hit a four-year high, and of course, as we mentioned, that was after the Fed's released the minutes from its January meeting, and, you know, the minutes showed officials seeing increased economic growth and an uptick in inflation as justification to continue to raise interest rates gradually. I don't know why that's a big surprise to the markets, except that the 10-year yield went to a four-year high. Everybody, you know, if the optimism is here and confidence, they all thought that we'd have a better economic growth, and everyone is anticipating. We already had the inflation numbers, so it's kind of interesting to see the markets react as strongly as they did after those minutes came out.
Yeah, maybe who knows? Maybe more market manipulation. Maybe, you know, computerized algorithm. You know, just you know, reacting to you know, some of the statements in the minutes, and wouldn't put anything past this market right now. A lot of misinformation we know is being plugged out there.
Well, I'm excited. Well, I shouldn't say I'm excited, but it'll be interesting to see what happens when that 10-year yield closes above 3%. Now, I'm not saying if it closes above 3% one time that it's going to do anything, but if it has consistent closes above that 3%, it will be real interesting, because that has always been the mark, the number to watch for. Things started to unwind when we saw the 2.60, and that's when volatility crept into these markets, was after it closed above that number and continued upward. So it'll be real interesting to see what happens.
Well, the other thing to keep in mind there too, listeners, is as the 10-year yield continues to rise toward 3%, take keep your eye on the 30-year yield, which now is around 3.2%. That means, you know, toward the outer end, the yield curve is known as, by what economists call it, as flattening. And flattening yield curves, yeah, often lead to inverted yield curves, where shorter term rates, in this case the 10-year, exceed the 30-year. When that happens, there's almost always a recession. Keep that in mind as you as we watch the yield curve movements in the coming months.
And we'll continue to remind them, right?
Indeed.
We'll keep you posted, ladies and gentlemen. But again, none of this is being discussed. I saw President Trump's economic advisor, Cohen. they're just anticipating a 3% growth GDP. And so I don't see the numbers or everybody screaming about, you know, the 4% and the 5% as the Atlantic Fed person had claimed a couple of weeks ago. So it seems like those numbers are beginning to be a little bit lowered. They're not as optimistic that it's going to go over 3. Even 3 is a great number to be having, considering what I believe is the state of the economy. But and you know, something else, Dave, people don't believe that. They'll say, big deal, 3%. What's the big deal on everything? People have paid 12%. People have paid 13%. You know, they just don't. Feds raise it a quarter point. What's the big deal? You know, it's tiny, tiny, tiny. But they just don't understand how much the interest on that debt changes. And really, when you look at, if you look at consumer credit cards, and I have a report, I'll try to bring it up here in a little bit. When you think about the amount of credit card, it's almost the same as when homes in 2008 had their adjustable rates changed. This is about the same thing. Would you agree or disagree?
There are certainly parallels.
I mean, it's certainly two different types of debt and everything, but people get hit with a higher rate and they have a little more difficult time paying their bills, so then they end up defaulting on their bills. And yeah, it starts a whole new train.
Yeah, on the corporate end, you know, we know that a rigorous vital stock market, individual stock prices, are based in large part on the low cost of debt. Yeah. And as interest rates rise, the cost of borrowing for companies large and small gets more expensive. Yep. That puts pressure on earnings, which in turn puts pressure on profits, which in turn puts downward pressure on stock prices. I think we're going to see more and more of that as the year goes on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Today, a report came out today. U.S. home sales unexpectedly fell for a second straight month in January. And, of course, this is part of the reason is a shortage of houses. It's pushing up prices and it's keeping a lot of people out of the market, first-time buyers. The National Association of Realtors said today that existing home sales dropped 3.2%. to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 5.4 million units last month. They also revised December sales pace down about 10,000 units. Economists that were polled by Reuters had forecast existing home sales rising 0.8% in January. Sales fell in all 4 regions last month. And existing home sales, which account for about 90% of U.S. home sales, declined 4.8% on a year-on-year basis in January. And that was the biggest year-on-year drop since August of 2014. So, you know, it doesn't seem like we're really going forward. And again, the weakness in home sales largely reflects a lack of supply rather than a lack of demand. So, I suppose, but perhaps even the small rate increases that have had, maybe that has bumped a lot of people out of the market. Because it doesn't take much to have a big impact on your payment. And all of a sudden, you don't qualify anymore. And then what happens? Banks begin to loosen their loaning requirements.
Their standards.
Standards. And so we've seen this. There has been a pretty good boost for housing, and there has been a shortage of properties available. And why do we have a shortage of houses, Dave? People are too many people are upside down, or
why is there a shortage? There's probably a combination of factors. I mean, we see that. Developers, you know, probably aren't getting the level of funding they need, but it's probably the demand too. And I think that that demand in the short run anyway could and probably does have a lot to do with mortgage rates ticking up, as you had indicated. So there's a good chance that that's a reason.
Well, the median house price increased 5.8% from a year ago to $240,500 in January, and that was the 71st consecutive month of year-over-year price gains. There really wasn't much more. Economists expect supply to remain tight this year, together with rising mortgage rates, could result in more modest home sales growth in 2018.
Yeah. At the same time, Melody, we're seeing some big chain restaurant names. Applebee's and IHOP are planning to close up to 120 restaurants this year. That is, the brands try to correct some major missteps that have occurred over the last few years. Yesterday, Applebee's announced that it expected to close between 60 and 80 restaurants this year, and its sister brand IHOP is expected to close between 30 and 40. That's on top of last year, when Applebee's closed 99 locations, 46 the year before that. IHOP closed 23 restaurants last year, and 16 the year before. Now, both Applebee's and IHOP are owned by the Dine Brands Global, and in the past, Dine executives have said that failed attempts to win over millennial diners is at least partially to blame for those brand struggles, especially in the case of Applebee's. Aging clientele at these so-called casual restaurants is hurting business. Applebee's isn't the only sit-down casual dining chain that's struggled in recent years, however. You've got places like Buffalo Wild Wings, TGI Fridays, and Ruby Tuesday have also faced slumping sales and store closures. So as a result, I mean, it's funny. I mean, interesting, certainly. TGI Friday and Buffalo Wild Wings are trying to distance themselves from this casual dining category, rebranding themselves as more bar-centric chains, obviously, in an attempt to attract younger crowds. Yet, despite these closures, Melody, Applebee's and IHOP both plan to open new locations this year. Applebee's going to develop between 10 and 15 new restaurants, it says, most of them outside the U.S., while IHOP plans to develop between 85 and 100 new restaurants, primarily in the U.S. So, certainly some mixed signals there, but obviously, I think it's something we want to keep our eyes on.
You know, it's on the cable networks. There were these programs where a chef would go into a restaurant and, he'd take a look around and he'd see the problems, and, the people were, ready to close the doors because they were, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. And Gordon Ramsay was one of the chefs that would go in there. And, it was always interesting, is because, all the restaurants had the same problem. They were dirty and they didn't have good food. So, I mean, if you're a restaurant, I would think the two things to bring people to your door is you want a clean place, to where you at least dust. And, of course, it's a cable network, so I'm sure they took, some of the most desperate restaurants and, turn them around and so forth. But that's all you have to do. You have good food and a cleanly place. And both of these restaurants, Applebee's, they really didn't change. I mean, I see the advertisements on Applebee's, and the food that they serve, it's just like, it's 4-pound burgers with bacon and cheese. And, I do think our appetites are changing to, we want a healthier restaurant. We want those healthier choices. And I don't think they made that change. Even with IHOP, in the mornings, you see these pictures of pancakes that are stacked, a foot high. That's an exaggeration, but a foot high with syrup and whipped cream. And
that's the low-cal version.
And that's the low-cal version. And it just almost makes you sick. And it kids might like it. But I mean, again, times are changing. And people want healthier food. People want, you know, at least healthier options. And it doesn't seem like these restaurants have kept up to the demand. And therefore, they're having difficulties. And so, you know, it's just an observation on my part. And perhaps I should go work for Applebee's and IHOP, and I should be able to turn them around. But you see it time and time again. I saw it with General Motors. You know, before the crash, you saw some of the decisions that they were making as far as their products and as far as, and it's just like, it was almost meant, designed to fail. It's like, you don't, I mean, here these people are getting millions and millions of dollars to make these businesses successful, and they can't do it. But yet, when you just look at their decisions and everything, it's kind of like, they got to be making those decisions intentionally. Because, I mean, it's just so, again, just interesting, and certainly just my observation, and it just makes you wonder. But anyway, let's go back to the stock market, if you will, Dave. Again, there's more and more people that are looking to the volatility in the stock market. You have more and more Wall Streeters that are coming out and saying, you know, this, you know, newfound volatility is one for the history books. This guy Jeff Sout, he's a chief investment strategist for Raymond James. He says he's never seen sentiment swing so fast, going from euphoria at the end of January to a 12% correction. And all I'd say, Mr. Salt, is you ain't seen nothing yet. Yeah.
Jeff.
Yeah, buckle up there, boy. And even though you've been 40 years on Wall Street, you know, course part of the problem, but also he recognizes that there is a problem, and he's coming out trying to warn his investors and so forth. But you know, is he going to move them out of paper and into gold? Of course not. You know, he's not going to do that. But so we had stocks sold off earlier this month after the wage number in January job report saw its biggest jump since the end of the Great Recession to an annualized rate of 2.9%. And of course, that sparks fears of inflation, higher interest rates that we talked about a little bit earlier. And I hear the music, Dave, and we're going to have to hold that thought right there. And Dave and I will be right back in just a few short minutes. Just one more time.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Dave and I. And, well, I'll tell you what, it's difficult when you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:30 in the morning, and it was a little over 12 hours ago. It makes it for a long day, and sometimes your tongue gets just a little twisted.
You're doing okay in my book.
All right. Well, you know, I turn on the media, I turn on Bloomberg, and I look at the foreign markets, and then once I do that, then, you know, I'm up and
the adrenaline is sparked.
And then I'm sparked. The special I have today, ladies and gentlemen, are Mint State 62 $10 Liberty gold pieces. We had quite a few available. The price on them are $1,715. And this is about $15 off our current pricing. And it is just a tremendous buy. Again, we're looking at, we're looking at premiums melts basically a little under spot. So a tremendous buy. Actually, it's 2.5% over melt on these coins. And we have a great mix of coins, pre and post 1900 dates in this lot. And we have 200 available. So 1-800-375-4188, $715. And of course, if you purchase two, we will include free shipping for your coins. So a great buy, beautiful coins, certified by NGC or PCGS. So these do go fast. So make sure you give us a call. Carla is waiting to take your order. 800-375-4188. So we were talking about this Wall Streeter who... let's see. What was his name again?
No, Jeff Salk. Yeah, nothing. Nothing to that volatility.
Yep, they just think this is great, and hey, this is the normal 10% correction before bouncing back, and so we're gonna bounce back, and we'll have this volatility. But I certainly do believe the structure is certainly broken. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's another strategist, Melody, a guy by the name of Michael Tyler, also said this morning, there isn't much risk over the next few months that could push the markets lower. He sees the markets retesting January's highs, in fact. I want to know what he's smoking, folks. To me, Souts and Tyler's comments reflect not a whole lot more than self-serving phantasmagoric gibberish. You want to hear that word again, Melody?
Would you please?
Phantasmagoric gibberish. Thank you, James Corbett. I paraphrased him to refer to those observations respectfully. There's just too much evidence, I think, you know, that suggests the paper markets are on the cusp of a major correction. Probably in the midst, despite the recent rebound. I mean, overvalued stock prices relative to earnings, increasing market and geopolitical volatility, rising interest rates, falling U.S. dollars, diminishing worldwide supplies, coupled with growing foreign demand. Where do we stop? There are other factors, too. And all those factors point to rising precious metal prices. You can still get in on historic low premiums for many coins. Melody just mentioned one of them. Call us at 1-800-375-4188 to buy your gold and silver now. Melody?
Well, I still remember it was July of last year. I talk about this often. Duffy, it's from CME.
Oh.
He's the...
Oh, right.
No, not Daffy, Doug. This is Duffy. Duffy.
Mr. Mr. $5,000.
Yeah. He says there's no reason. He says gold should be trading today. And this was in July. He was being interviewed at $5,000 and $6,000. Considering what is going on with our economy, our markets, and the geopolitical risks around the world. $5,000 or $6,000 back in July. Does anybody think that we're better now than we were in July of last year? You know, with our geopolitical risks and our volatility in our markets? I don't think so. So in his view, perhaps we should be at $7,000 or $8,000 now, because I believe things have just consistently gotten worse since then. Even though we have the higher numbers, and I go back to Venezuela. Venezuela, you can't get 40 cents out of the ATMs, but yet their markets are doing fine. So it certainly isn't helping the people, and it's all relative to everything. So speaking of volatility, the well-known Artemis hedge fund manager Christopher Cole says stock buybacks are in effect creating low volatility. It's like, hello? That in fact volatility has been artificially and dangerously depressed for that reason for quite some time. He said yesterday that share buybacks are like a giant synthetic short volatility position. Can you explain that, Dave?
Well, I'll try. Companies over the past decade or so have significantly increased buybacks, stock buybacks, to the point where they're now collectively the largest single buyer of stocks. In fact, some observers, Melody, have called the market self-cannibalizing. Others prefer the politer term, equity shrink. But here's the thing. Businesses, particularly large corporations, are not particularly price sensitive. Stock buybacks tend to rise with the market, but they do try over short periods to buy at the lowest average price. So in a long bull market, like the one we're in now, corporations tend to step in to buy whenever there's a dip, which is just what happened 2 weeks ago. Goldman Sachs, for one, we read, said its unit that executes share buybacks received a surge of orders just last week. It's a fellow from Longtail Alpha, Vinir Bonsalai, I believe you pronounce his name, last name, who has warned about a volatility bubble. He says that buybacks can actually suppress volatility, but he says for the right reasons. When companies produce more cash than they can productively reinvest in their business, they buy back the stock, which tends to lift prices and, he says, curb volatility. I guess in theory that kind of makes sense. The problem comes, though, when companies fund buybacks by taking on more debt rather than with cash generated by their operations. That's when buybacks become part of the leveraged low volatility trade that can unwind disastrously when interest rates rise, just as we saw in the past few weeks when a couple of these funds a couple of them now are out of business as of February 20. Others are just hanging on by threads. And as we've been telling listeners for many moons, debt issuance in the 21st century has been used in large part to pay for stock buybacks. And that, Melody, may be an imminent issue as the total cost of funding debt for buybacks is soaring. The $171 billion in year-to-date stock buybacks is the most ever for this early in the year. In fact, it's more than double the prior 10-year average of $77 billion in year-to-date buybacks. That's almost $100 billion more. It's incredible. Melody, those pointing their finger at buybacks say continued corporate stock purchases will make the next market downturn far worse than the current one or the last one. Buy gold and silver now, folks.
You know, and that's true, because there isn't anything underneath that's pushed. There wasn't any fundamentals that pushed these numbers high. And we say this day in, day out. Yeah, I could take a dozen things, a dozen reasons to give folks, you know, why the market's going to crash. And this is one of them. This is part of the illusion that's been created. And now you have the tax cuts, the tax reform. You have I don't know how many trillions of dollars that are going to be repatriated back into the United States with this tax reform. I mean, prior to the tax reform, the numbers kept growing from 1.5 to 2 trillion to 3 trillion to 4 trillion, maybe even as high as $5 trillion would be coming back. Well, then just recently, I heard it's back down to $1.5 trillion. That will be used, a large part of that will be used to buy back stocks and dividends to keep the system going. And I don't know when that's going to happen. I haven't heard. Everybody says that they're going to be bringing back their, I can't remember which one, Cisco was going to bring back $63 or $67 billion or something like that in fall.
That's a lot.
So maybe they're anticipating something happening this fall, and they're saving their repatriations back to this country to maybe prop something up at that point in time. I mean, I'm just, you know,
well, maybe just, by then we have a better idea of what the Fed will have done and is going to do with the, you know, in the last quarter. It's the end of the federal fiscal year when we know that the deficit for that year ending is going to approach, if not be over, $1 trillion. At the same time, we know, you know, the Fed's uneasing of quantitative easing is going to be in full stream by then. This is when the ugly stuff could hit the fan.
If we hold off that long.
Well, you're right.
If we hold off that long, I'm not so sure we will. If that, and again, we're back to, you know, folks, I really think we truly are at the edge. And I've often believed we've gone over the edge, and there was that one single twig that was sticking out, and we caught it. And we were just hanging there. And now that twig is beginning to break. And I truly do believe that's where we're at. And so there's a lot of things. I talk about debt all the time. Dave and I, we talk about debt. Butch and I talk about debt. Beth and I talk about debt. I talk about debt. And we talked about debt for years and years and years. And to me, that is the single. I mean, we have no idea when you bring in the derivatives. And we're just talking about our country.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the rest of the world, how it's all been synchronized in debt just to keep their markets going. They can't quit the stimulus. I mean, that's what the world economies are based on, your foreign equities. You've got your Japan. You know, I'm sure you talk about with Corbett about, you know, their markets and their stimulus that's going into. They can't cut it. They can't cut back. You know, there's talk of it. Same way with England, the European Union. Everybody talks about, well, maybe we'll begin tape, but they can't. The whole problem is they can't. And everybody says the United States, that the Fed cut their quantitative easing. Did they?
Hmm.
Not when they used their bonds that matured. They took money and bought more bonds. So isn't that sort of still stimulus?
That ain't easing to me.
No.
By definition.
You know, maybe it wasn't $85 billion a month, but they took what they did and bought. So, again, the illusion has been created. We have no idea what the real truth is to the degree of where we're at. And that should be frightening to most anyone. And yet I know many are comforted by the high levels of the stock market, of the paper markets. They see their quarterly statements. If they're not making a lot of money, at least they've, you know, they recouped what they lost from 2008, and they're happy. You still can't put your money in the bank. You still don't get paid anything for it, even if with rates rising, inflation is rising. So your purchasing power is still decreasing. And if you're just holding paper, how do you keep up with not losing on a day-to-day basis? And so many of these analysts that push gold and silver, all they talk about, oh, gold is going to 50,000, silver's going to 1,000, maybe. I think they're going to do extremely well. But on the other hand, gold does so much more than just hitting those high numbers. Silver does so much more than hitting those high numbers. The true fundamentals is going to protect your purchasing power. And even if the prices stayed the same, and the paper markets drop to, you know, if the Dow dropped to 3,000 and gold stayed at this level, wouldn't you be happy? I would. I'd rather be holding gold at this level than paper at 25,000 dropping to 3,000. So it's all relative. You can't truly lose with gold, but you can lose with those promises to pay from Wall Street. And if you think that they're looking out for your best efforts or your best interests, that's debatable. That's debatable. But we try to do that here at Discount Gold and Silver. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Please make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And tomorrow I'm going to have information. Next week we're going to have an interview with Chuck Untersee and his movie project that he's put together, Revelation. And there we'll be doing a mailing. So if you sign up at the website, then you'll get a copy of this email showing you how you can get a free viewing of his movie, Revelation. So DGScoins.com, Mint State 62, $10 gold pieces, $715. And I will be back here tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
Seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.